So we were on the on the bottom of Mem Hei Amud Beis. So on the very bottom of Mem Hei Amud Beis, the Gemara said, just to review again, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda L'Sharei Shachrei Aminale. According to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, how does he know that when you're uprooting idolatry, let's say uprooting an Asherah tree, you also have to go and pull out the roots too, cut it down, and then go back to take out the roots? Nafkalei learns it from the verse, V'batem et shimam in amakom ahu, destroy their name from that place. Rabbanan will tell you, ahu, that verse is to teach l'chanas l'shem. You have to create a negative nickname for the Avodah Zarah, because it says, and destroy their name. The Tanya is learned in a brisa. Reb Eliezer Omer, Reb Eliezer says, Minayin lo kravodes kochavim shetzarach l'shara shachrea. How do we know that when you're uprooting an idol or a tree of Avodah Zarah, you have to go back and then uproot the roots too? Tamaloma, that's why it says, V'batim eshmav, destroy their name, destroy whatever is there. Amar Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva said, no, I don't need V'batim eshmav to teach me that. The verse already says, destroy, you shall surely destroy. But by saying destroy twice, it means you destroy, then you go back to destroy some more. In Cain, if so, so why does it also say and destroy their name from their place? That's to teach you l'chanas l'shem. You're supposed to make up nicknames to make fun of the idolatry. Yachal l'shevach. Maybe when you make up a name, you give it a new name, but it's a positive new name. It's just a new name. You think you're going to give it a positive name? It's idolatry. Maybe you make up a name, not necessarily positive, nor is it necessarily negative. It's just that you don't refer to the idolatry by its proper name, by the name that that most others refer to it by. You make up a name. Tamaloma, that's what the verse says. It's not just enough to make up a name. You have to make up a name that really insults and disparages and demeans the idolatry. That's what the verse says, Shaketz to Shaktzenu. Disgusting, make it disgusting. The Sa'iv to Sa'avenu. And the abominable, make it abominable. Ki Cheremhu. For it is forbidden. It is verboten. It is Cherem. It is something which is totally away from you, totally to be destroyed. Haketza, what is the meaning of the mandate to create a nickname for idolatry? Hayukorin Osa Beis Galia. Let's say its real name is Beit Galia, meaning the place of height to which all is revealed. Korin Osa Beis Karia. You should call it the place of digging, of lowliness, of kneeling. If it's called Ein Kol, the eye of all, the eye that sees all, you call it Ein Kotz, the eye that's got a thorn in it. So you create a name which sounds like the proper name of the Avodah Zarah, but that makes fun of the idolatry and their beliefs. Okay.
Going, what kind of names you could put on there?
Well, you're good at it, no? Cheese and crackers, that was good. Or there are all sorts of names like that.
Okay.
The Gemara,
it's your homework,
uses a lot of bathroom language to refer to
that's
that.
That's the best place. I know.
Atzabim, as if they are, you know, droppings of excrement. And,
you know, us, we use, like they say, when we go to the bathroom, we say we're going to Khomeini's room. You know?
There you go.
Things like that, you know?
Exactly, things like that.
A lot of marble there, right?
not that.
Tani, Tana, Kamedra of Sheshas. All right, going back to the topic, which what got us into the discussion, what we learned in yesterday's Mishnah, that if non-Jews are worshipping a mountain, the mountain stays permitted. That was where we got into the whole discussion. So there was a Tana who taught in front of Rav Sheshes, Ha'akum ha'ovdin es seharim ves hagvos. If Gentiles are bowing to a mountain or to a hilltop, hein mutarim, the mountains stay permitted. A Jew can go and mine that mountain, cultivate that mountain, take stones out of that mountain. The mountain stays permitted. The non-Jews' worship cannot prohibit what God made. Vovdein besayeth. But the non-Jews, they're doing the sin of idolatry. And that's one of the seven Noahide laws, not to do idolatry. And the punishment for a non-Jew for violating any of his sins is death by sword. So the non-Jews who are worshipping the mountain deserve death by sword. What about a field? If non-Jews are worshipping vegetable plants, or they're worshipping seeds that they planted, the seeds are prohibited. And besides, the non-Jews worshipping them would get the punishment of death by sword. Amarle, so Rav Shesha said to this person who's explaining the Braisos, to Amar Lecha, money, who taught you this idea? Who's this following? So he said, you know where this Brais is from? Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda. It's Rabbi Yossi, the son of Rabbi Yehuda, who we learned yesterday. To Amar, who says, Ilan Shin Tolu Vasof Avdo Asur. Who says that when it comes to Asherah trees, if the tree was planted originally for a secular purpose, to produce fruit, and then after it grew, they decided to re-Christian it, to give it a new definition. Now that we're going to start worshipping it, it becomes prohibited. So that's why these plants are prohibited, even though they were planted originally for an okay purpose. So the Gemara says, why do you have to say it that way? The Lukma, why didn't he just establish that this Braisa is Be'ilan Shinatam Itchil Lekach, with plants and trees that were planted from the very beginning to serve as idolatry? For Rabbanan, and then it could be following the view of the Rabbanan, that a tree planted for idolatry is prohibited, and not a tree that was originally planted for fruit and then becomes used for idolatry. Answers the Gemara, Lo Salka Da'atach, he couldn't think to say this. To Katani, because it said, Dumya Dahar. It speaks about plants similar to a mountain. Mahar Shalonat Omitchil Lekach. A mountain wasn't planted originally to serve as an idol. God made the mountains. He didn't make them to be idols. Avhai Nami, so these plants were also Shalonat Omitchil Lekach. They were not originally made to be an idol. And that, so we have, though, at least the Braisa following Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, even though it wasn't made to be an idol. It was made to produce fruit. If later it gets used as an idol, it also becomes prohibited. Yeah, question.
The hotel has millions of tourists a year.
Good.
A lot of Asians, a lot of other Americans go there.
Yeah.
They're praying to wherever they are. They're trying to potentially something that we're not making it to. Why is that not an issue?
So the reason why the hotel is not an issue is because, first of all, they do not own the kotel. A person cannot create a prohibition on what he does not own. He can only create a prohibition on that which he owns. Here we're talking about people who own these trees, etc. So they could create a prohibition on it. But if you don't own something, you can't create a prohibition. Furthermore, with the kotel, you know, it's attached. It's attached to the ground, so. Same way they can't create a prohibition on the ground, they may not be able to create a prohibition on that which is attached to the ground, initially was attached for a fine purpose. We're going to see about that, you know, later today. Okay, Itmar, we learned. Avnei har shenidal delu. Let's say there is a mountain of theirs, and they are worshipping this mountain, and some stones fall off of the mountain, and they keep worshipping these stones. A non-Jew is bowing to the stone from this mountain. So what's the law of a stone that came off on its own?
Man-made.
What's that? It's not man-made. Hashem made it. But it's movable. So B'nai Reb Chiya of Reb Yochan. About here there was an argument between the children of Rabbi Chiya, we'll see that's Chizkiah, and Reb Yochan. Chad Amar Asuros. One said they are prohibited. Chad amar mutaros. The other said they are allowed. My time demands amar mutaros. What's the reasoning of the one who says they are allowed? As Roger said, kehar, like a mountain. Mahar shein bo tfisasi de adam umutar, just like a mountain, because it's godly made, there's no human hand in its creation, it's permitted. We say the gods are on the mountains, not that the mountains themselves can become gods. Afhani, so these stones as well, shein ben tfisasi de adam, where there's no human hand in their formation, umutar, and they are therefore allowed. How could you say that? But malahar shekein mechuber. When you have a verse that there are gods on mountains, and from that you imply that the gods can be on the mountains themselves are not gods. That's referring to the mountain. The mountain is attached to the ground. But these stones have fallen off. They're not attached. So you might say, well, behema tochiach. Think about an animal. An animal is not attached to the ground. And if, let's say, there's a wild boar running, and some non-Jew bows to this wild boar, it doesn't become prohibited. It doesn't become prohibited because it was made by God. Since it was made by God, it doesn't become prohibited. But it is prohibited to be used as a carbon, an animal that was, you know, bowed to by some non-Jew. But you're allowed to get benefit. So you see, because it's made by God. So you'll say, well, mala behema, an animal, if a non-Jew bows to it, it doesn't become prohibited. Shekin ba'alas chayim, because the animal has life in it. So maybe because it has life, it's so prominent, the non-Jew's bowing cannot change its identity. It has life. One second, that's not the issue. Har yochiyah, even a mountain, if a non-Jew bows to it, he can't prohibit it. And a mountain has no life. B'chazer adin. So now you're in a situation, a classical situation of, we call it sad hashave, common denominator. Lo re'izeh kir'izeh, the characteristic of this one, the characteristic of an animal that it has life is not like the characteristic of a mountain. The characteristic of a mountain that it's stationary and immovable is not like the characteristic of an animal. Lo re'izeh kir'izeh, the characteristic of this one is not like the characteristic of that one. Hatzad ha-shaveh shebehen, what is the common denominator between them? She'en ben tfisa sidei adam. They are God's handiwork. It wasn't made by people. Umutter, and therefore they cannot be prohibited. They can't be made prohibited. So af kol she'en ben tfisa sidei adam umutter. So that's why one of these opinions, we're not sure yet whether it's the children of Rabbi Chiya or it was Rabbi Yochanan, they say anything that didn't have human hands to it is permitted. So therefore, if stones fall off of a mountain and people are worshipping those stones, the stones are still prohibited, are still permitted. So Gemara asks, but in terms of the common denominator, when you have a mountain and non-Jews worshipping it, or an animal and non-Jews worshipping it, what God made is still in the form that God made it. The mountain is still the way God made it. The animal is in the way God made it. But when you have stones that fell off of a mountain, these stones are not in the way God made them. They were made as a mountain. Now they fell off of the mountain. They've become different. Ella, so rather, says the Gemara, as yami behema, ba'alasmun. The source of, we haven't yet determined who it was, whether it was the sons of Rabbi Yochanan or the sons of Rabbi Chiya, but the source that says that the stones that fall off of a mountain, if they get worshipped, they are not prohibited, is derived from an animal that has a blemish, together with learning also from a mountain, umehar. Or inami, alternatively, behema tama, if you have a whole animal, umeilan yavish, and from a dried up tree. So what are you going to say? If you're going to say that the issue is, you can't learn from an animal because an animal is alive, so that's why it can't become prohibited. But a mountain is not alive, and a mountain can't become prohibited. You're going to say, yeah, but a mountain and an animal both are the way God made them. Yeah, but if an animal gets a blemish, it's not the way God made it anymore. And even so, it can't become prohibited. If the tree dried up, it's not the way God made it, and nevertheless, it can't become prohibited. The bottom line is, it's somewhat the way God made it. It doesn't have human hands making it this way. As long as it's not human hands making it this way, it's still something which cannot become prohibited.
Are we just talking about an animal that an idol worshiper owns, or just a general animal?
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's what it's saying.
But I thought we had learned so many times over that an animal that was worshipped for a bodhisattva cannot have a benefit from it.
Mm. That is, if it's, it's an interesting irony. If it's takroves, if it's offered to the idolatry, if it's part of a of an offering, you can't. But if they bow to it, then apparently they can't create it prohibited by bowing to it.
So get eaten by a mountain lion.
Rabbi, what did you learn about trees earlier? That we cannot have benefit from trees that have been worshipped?
Well, that was according to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. Oh. According to everyone, if it was planted for idolatry.
Attention.
Attention to you. I'm missing here something, because when they say there was stone fell from the mountains, you know many times stone moving and falling, but there are still big pieces of stone that
okay.
cannot move them.
No, we're talking about things that could be moved.
Could
be moved, but it wasn't. It wasn't. It wasn't human hands. Human hands didn't move it. Human hands didn't move it.
But they can move it now.
It wasn't. Yeah, but they didn't.
Uh-huh,
it hasn't
uh-huh,
been touched by humans
there,
yet. Says the Gemara, Manda Asar, the one who says that a broken piece off of a mountain does become prohibited. We'll tell you like this: La'achik siv, even though you could, you know, have a good derivation. You could say the same way, mountains can't become prohibited, and animals can't become prohibited. This stone that fell off of them can't become prohibited. I'll tell you, there's a pasuk. It says about Avodah Zarah, Shaketz to Shaktzenu. Make it disgusting, you shall make it disgusting. The Saiv to Sa'avenu. And abominable, you shall make it abominable. So why repeat Shaketz, and then again to Shaktzenu? To say, even though there are things that you would think that shouldn't be made destroyed, no, based on an added verse, an added word, they do become destroyed. Even though through logic and normal methodology of derivations, we should say it's still permitted. Lo tasya, you can't derive it, and it stay, and it becomes prohibited. Okay, so we've understand now. We've explained the reasoning. The view that says it's prohibited, it's because there's a special pasuk, shaketz to shaktzenu v'saif to sa'avenu. The view that says that it stays permitted is because he says stones that come off of a mountain are similar to a mountain and an animal which is a baal asmum, an animal which has a blemish. Just like those don't become prohibited, the stones don't become prohibited. Now, who said what? We didn't explain. This time I know from another source to prove the identity, d'bnei r'b'chia d'sharu, that it's the children of Reb Chiya are the ones who say that the stones that fall off of a mountain are still permissible, and even though people are worshipping those stones, they are not prohibited yet. Debai Chizkiah. Chizkiah was the son of Reb Chiya. Chizkiah had asked, Zakef Beitza li shtachav osla, a guy who takes an egg and he puts an egg up on some pedestal to then bow in front of the egg, mahu, is that already considered a human creation? So, Kasalka Daitach, we're thinking. Kasalka Daitach, we were thinking to say, not only did he put it up on the pedestal to bow to it, Lishtachavosla, Vishtachavala, he actually bowed to it. So, what was Chizkiah's question? The Kamibayale, his question is like this. You know, if you take a stone off of a mountain and then you chisel it into a statue of something, of course that's already an act. That's human creation. If you then bow to that statue, it's prohibited. That's for sure. But what happens if you took the egg? The egg is God's creation. And you just put it on a pedestal. Is that considered human creation or not? But if he didn't put it up, he just bowed to some egg rolling on the floor that just dropped out of the hen's belly. Lo mitzvah. Of course, it doesn't become prohibited. So, what's that? That's the idea that if you have a mountain and a stone rolls off, and people are still, you know, bowing to that stone, it doesn't become prohibited. So, Shema Amina, you see, and this is Chizkiah. And it's Bnei Reb Chiya, the children of Reb Chiya, the Sharu allow the stones that rolled off and are being worshipped. The Gemara says, "Lo, it's not a proof." Lo, l'mem l'cha Bnei Reb Chiya de Asri. B'nei Reb Chiya would prohibit if you bow to an egg that's on the floor, if you bow to a stone that fell off of a mountain, asura. If he actually were to bow to it, it would become prohibited even if he didn't put it up on the pedestal. What was the question of the children of Reb Chiya, of Chizkiah? If he takes the egg and he puts it up on a pedestal with the intent to then bow to it, the lo ishtachav ala, and he didn't actually bow to it. So Gemara says, one second. If that's the case, uleman. So based on who is there a doubt here? Uleman da amar avodas kochavim shel Yisrael asura miyad. If we're talking about the opinion that a Jew who creates an idol, even though he doesn't actually worship it, right, by making it, it becomes already an idol. And this is asura. Because if you hold that the actual bowing to an egg would create a prohibition on the egg, so now, once you put it up on a pedestal, that should certainly be considered making the idol. Ilaman Dharmanif, according to the one who says that even when a Jew makes an idol, achate aved, it only becomes prohibited once it's actually worshipped. Halo palcha. So this egg also is not actually worshipped. So what's the big question? So lo tzricha answers the Gemara. You know what Chizkiah's question was? According to this latter opinion, that when a Jew makes an idol, it only becomes prohibited once it's actually worshipped. Then we're talking about where the Jew put up the egg on a pedestal in order to bow to it, but he hasn't yet bowed to it. And when a Jew makes an idol, it's only idolatry once it's actually worshipped. And then uva'ovid kochavim ishtachav Allah. And then a non-Jew came and he bowed to it. Now normally, as Yosef has pointed out, you can't prohibit it what you don't own. So here the non-Jew doesn't own this egg. So why would his bowing be able to prohibit the egg? But kiyadam Rav Yehuda mar Shmuel. But based on what Rav Yehuda says in the name of Shmuel, Yisrael shezakaf levena lishtachav osla. If a Jew puts up some big, you know, cinder block to bow to it, and before the Jew could do it, a non-Jew came and actually bowed to it, asura becomes prohibited. Because since the Jew showed he wanted to worship this cinder block, so when the non-Jew bows, he's doing what the Jew wants. The Jew's creating some, you know, he's an adherent to this false faith. So the non-Jew's actions are considered, you know, being done under his instruction and his orders and his shlichus. So it's as if he bowed down. So, therefore, the Kami Bayale Chizkiah's question is like this. Leveinu Hudaminkara Skifasa, is it when a cinder block is put up as some type of an idol? That's a sign that the Jew wants to worship it. So then when the non-Jew bows to it, it can become prohibited. Aval Beitz Alo, but putting up an egg on a pedestal, that's not such a sign. Maybe an egg on a pedestal is like a cinder block on a pedestal. And that's what Teku, that's what he wasn't sure about. So if so, you don't see necessarily that Chizkiah is believing that if he would bow to the egg itself without doing anything to the egg, it is permitted. Maybe he holds that if it bowed to the egg itself, it's prohibited. And the question is not about the bowing to the egg, but it was we just said. The question is about the non-Jew bowing to the egg. Is the Jew putting it on a pedestal enough of a sign that that means the Jew wants everybody to be worshiping it?
Rabbi?
Yeah, question.
So what differentiates the egg then from an animal? Wouldn't the animals fly the same way as an egg then?
Good point, because we said an animal that if you bow to it, it doesn't become prohibited. Because God made the animal, but apparently the egg is different because it separated off of the animal, and that's part of the question.
But it is going to be an animal.
Which came first.
It's true. That's part of the question, right? It's sort of similar to the stones that fall off of a mountain. Is it different or is it not? It's a good parallel. All right, we're at the two dots on the bottom of Mem Vav Amud Aleph. Bai Rami Bar Chama. Rami Bar Chama asked the following question. Hamishtachavela har, a guy who bows to a mountain. Avan of Maulam is Beach. Can you take stones off of that mountain and use it to build an altar in the holy temple. Now turning to Mem Vav Amid Beis. Yesh Nevad B'mechubar Etzel Gavoa. Do we say that even though when you worship something attached to the ground, it doesn't become prohibited? But that's only true in terms of the prohibition on simple people getting benefit. But in terms of it being rejected by God, it is still rejected for the temple. Oh, ain't never been mechubar etzel gavor. Maybe when we say that when you worship things that are attached, it doesn't become prohibited at all. So even for God, it doesn't become prohibited. Now, im timtzalomer yesh, never be mechubar etzel gavor. And if you're going to say that which is attached to the ground can become prohibited to God because it was worshipped. But what about machshirei karban? What about making an altar? Is that kikarban dami? Is that like an offering that it should be rejected? Although, maybe that's just to enable an offering, so it doesn't get rejected. So Amar Rava, Rava answered, Kal v'chomer. I can figure this out through logic. We know that if a man, unfortunately, goes to a prostitute, and he pays the prostitute with a lamb, that lamb cannot be offered as a sacrifice. It's disqualified from God's temple. Uma esnan, look at this payment given to the prostitute. Shemuter betalush, as Lloyd pointed out, as Yosef pointed out, if someone were to bow to this animal, the animal stays permitted. It doesn't become prohibited secularly. Muter betalush lehedyot. Nevertheless, asur v'mechubar lagavoa. But in regards to God, it's not allowed. And if it's attached to the ground, also, if it's an esnan, if it's a payment to the prostitute, it becomes prohibited to any use of the temple. Because it says, the Torah says, Lo Savi, you shall not bring esnan zona, anything paid to the prostitute for the prostitution services, umechir kelev, and that which was exchanged for a dog, beis Hashem Elokecha, to the house of God, your Lord. In other words, even for the building of the house, even for that which enables a sacrifice. And l'chol neder, and for any vow.
But Rabbi, does it mean here that if she, in the example, got for payment a lamb, and then she goes and she sells that lamb, now can she then use the money to then buy?
Oh, that's a separate issue. We're not talking about that. We're talking about the lamb itself. The lamb itself is disqualified.
Rabbi, difficulty with this, because after the Chet HaEgel, everyone took every, you know, different items that they had donated for the Mishkan. Some of them may have been used for idol worship.
No? Good question. So those that were used for idol worship were destroyed. They used other things that they had.
So many goods are coming in, right? Hundreds of thousands of
items. Yeah, because right when they destroyed the golden calf, and they killed those, you know, worse, egregious violators. So the Gemara answers, so the Gemara continues talking about this Esnan. The verse says that the payment of the prostitute's no good. So it doesn't say only movable payments. Alosh natalosh, whether it's movable, alosh nabim mechubar or attached, it's no good. Nevad sh'asr betalosh lehedyot, when you have something which is worshipped, that's certainly not allowed. So certainly, even if it's attached to the ground, it's not allowed to the temple. What's the problem with converting a church? Ah, okay. It's movable, right. Movables, yeah. I think that's a good question, right? That's this issue. Practically, I believe you are, but you see here that this is what they were not sure about. So, Amalei, still, a shul's not the same thing as a Beis HaMikdash or Karbanos. So, Amalei, Rav Huna, Bredi of Yeshua LeRava. So, Rav Huna, the son of Rav Yeshua, said to Rava, O Chiluf, but you could actually say an opposite type of logic. You could say it the other way. Say like this, Uma Nevad, when it comes to somebody who's worshipping an animal, Sha'asar betalosh etzel hedyot, Muta b'mechubar l'gavoa, Shneim Eloheihem al harim, V'lo harim Eloheihem, Lo shna lehedyot v'lo shna l'gavoa. Maybe you'll say like this, an animal which gets worshipped is disqualified from being a karban, But if a mountain is worshipped, you could use it, because the verse said the gods are on the mountains. The mountains are never the gods. It sounds like they're never the gods for anything. But Esnan, but when you have an animal given to a woman for prostitution services, Shemutr b'talush lehedyot, so Enodin Shemutr b'mechubar legavoa. So in Esnan, you know, if it's movable, a secular person can benefit from it. So certainly it should be allowed if it's attached to the temple. V'im Yishum, and if you're going to say no, there's no way you can use something of Esnan for the temple, because the verse says, Lo savi Esnan zono mechir kelev beis Hashem Elokecha, don't bring the Esnan zona to the house of God your Lord. But nevertheless, I could read the verse differently. Maybe the verse is telling us what the Brisa says. Beis Hashem Elokecha, the house of God your Lord. That what is a problem of Esnan, things that go into the holy temple? But let's say the red cow, if a red cow was given to a prostitute, you could still slaughter that red cow, because that doesn't go into the temple. The service of the red cow is on Mount of Olives. Divrei Rebbe Elazar, it's a view of Rebbe Elazar. Chacham say no. When it said, Beis Hashem Elokecha, it's to say, the rabbis are sarikuin, that all sorts of tiling and covers of gold, they're also prohibited if they were given to the prostitute. So Amar Lei, so Rava said back to Avunah, the son of Yeshua, Ana ka'imna l'chumra. If I have a choice of looking at sources, I'd rather end up with astringency and say, just like Esnan is prohibited, so too, that which is attached to the ground, if it gets worshipped, becomes prohibited. And you want to say that a certain Esnan becomes permissible? I always say, Kula v'chumra, when you have an option of interpreting things in a more lenient way, or in a stricter way, v'chumra parchinan, since we're dealing with biblical issues and the issues of idolatry, we would rather interpret it in a more stringent way, not in the lenient way. Okay, we'll stop here and we'll continue on Shabbos, Bezus Hashem.